book of 1 Samuel and looking at the life of David, and we'll continue that study tonight, if you will. The life of David, and you know, there's just a lot of good things. If you got to come yesterday to the Preacher's Fellowship, you got to hear Brother Shane Cloud. He preached on really on chapters 18 and beginning, and then chapter 17 about how, you know, his thought on how Jonathan saw David and just fell in love with him as the man that he was, and why he did that. And I, you know, that's a great thought, wasn't it? That's a real blessing to hear that on yesterday. All right, but I want you to take your Bibles here tonight. Look in chapter number 19 of 1 Samuel. Now, we won't hit every little thing that goes on in David's life, every little thing, because we're going to skip through the first 17 or so verses and give you just a little fill-in on that. If you remember, we've looked at this, and David's having some trouble out of the king. Amen? He's still got trouble out of the king. I mean, in chapter number 18, and you know, we saw where the king had, King Saul had the Spirit of God leave him, and the Spirit of God came on David, and things began to change in Saul's life from that point forward. And let me say this, you know, things happen in everybody's life, just like it did in Saul's life. But most of those things that went on, he brought on himself. Came on through disobedience to the things of God. And that's, I mean, you know, that's still a big issue today with people just being disobedient to the will and the purpose of God. I mean, they just, you know, we live in a day, and if you'll think about this, you'll realize this is true. People's mantra today is, if it feels good, do it. Or you do you. You know, that's the idea of people. Oh, you do you, and I'll do me, and it'll be all right. Brother, I'll tell you something. There's still nothing like living in the will of God so that you can be the kind of Christian you ought to be. And that, here's Saul. He's gotten away from that. He's gotten way away from it. And the Bible says that he's having these times where there's an evil spirit that comes on him. And during those times, I mean, he just loses his mind, right? And he's thought about killing David. He wants to kill David. He wants to get rid of him. He's gotten jealous of him. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. Well, that continues on into chapter number 19. Chapter number 19, just real quickly, look at verse number 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. I mean, that's where he's at right now. I hate that boy. I hate what he's become. They're singing songs about he's killed his 10,000, and they're just telling that I killed my 1,000. And there's nothing else he could have but the kingdom. I just hate him. And that's where he's getting. And I want to tell you something, friend. You get in that shape, you really need to do some repenting and praying and getting right with God. And I believe, really, if Saul had come to that realization in his mind, and if he'd have said, God, I'm sorry, I believe God could have cleared up a whole lot of stuff and changed things in the life of Saul. But he would not. Okay? He would not do any of that. So, anyway, you go through those first 17 verses or so of this, and you see that that's the thing, the thought that's on Saul's mind is he's going to get rid of David. And his son Jonathan talks him out of it, as a matter of fact. You'll see in verse number 4, it said, and Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his words have been to thee ward very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. And thou sawest it and did rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? I mean, he's like, man, Jonathan goes to him. And so at this point, things kind of calm down. It said in verse 6, and Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. So for the moment, he's recounted and repented of his business, but back in verse number 9, an evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul again as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David was playing with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with his javelin, but he slipped away from Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. Man, it's just coming apart for Saul. He's got this hatred. He's got this issue. He's got this thing against David. So that's what's going on the most part of this chapter. But look down in verse number 18, and it says, so David fled. Now, I mean, he got out of the country. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is in Naioth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. When it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they also prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah, and he came to a great well that is in Shechem, and he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be in Naioth in Ramah. And he went hither to Naioth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. I pray now you just bless this word. Use it to instruct our hearts. Use it to show us some things. Use it to be a blessing and a help in our lives as we live them for you. And again, we'll just give you praise and thanks. And I pray again, save the lost. Help us to have a burden for them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, man, I want to preach to you tonight just this idea. Here's some men on the run. Some men on the run. And that's exactly what you got. I mean, there's people here, and they're running everywhere. I mean, they're on the run in a lot of places and for a lot of different reasons. But let's look at them tonight. We'll talk about it kind of looking at three different thoughts on that. First of all, let's look at a man on the run. A man on the run. And this man is David. This is a man that's on the run. And you see it says there in verse number 18, so David fled. And it says, and escaped, and came to Samuel to Ramah. Now, I think you can see this as you begin to look at it. You'll see that I look at it this way and say, we look at David's scare. David is scared of what's going to happen to him if he hangs around Saul and the castle and even his wife. If you go back and you read that little section there from verses number 11 down through verse 17, his wife covers for him, and his wife tells the king that he's not feeling well. He's at home in bed, and finally Saul gets mad. He sends some soldiers down there to get him, and they come to find out that his wife has just fluffed up some pillows and covered up the bed, and David's not even there. He's on the run. He's on the run. And King Saul gets all bent out of shape about that because he's going to kill David. So David becomes a man on the run. Isn't it amazing to think about this? And it's this, not just David's life, but in a lot of other folks' lives. You think about Elijah. Elijah had slain the prophets of Baal. God had answered with fire out of heaven. I mean, all kinds of great things happened. And then one little old girl gets up named Jezebel. She starts squalling and carrying on and spitting out some stuff. And Elijah gets on the run. Now here's David. David has whooped Goliath. David has cut the head off of a giant. David has won a victory for the army of Israel. And now the king comes against him, and David gets scared. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Don't ever underestimate yourself and your flesh. Because your flesh can do the same thing. You can be fighting and, oh, you're winning spiritual battles and you're hallelujah and you're glory on. I'm on fire. Yeah, you better look out. Your fire's liable to get put out in a hurry, right? Because here David turns scared. Now, I don't understand that, but, you know, I wouldn't understand yours and you wouldn't understand mine when some of those things happen in our lives. We just get there sometimes. It's just a thing that happens. So here's David, and he's on the run. And, you know, it almost seemed like David is running. He says, well, I can't run back home to where my daddy and all my brothers are because it'll cause problems there. I can't stay here with my wife because that'll cause problems here. I can't go back to the king's castle and be like it was before, even though Jonathan's there, because there's no telling what might happen. He's over there throwing javelins at me when we're just sitting around the house. He said, so I'm practically all by myself. What am I going to do? Well, aren't you glad that God's got something and some place for you to go? Look what it says there. So David fled and escaped, and he came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul has done. So you see David's scared, but you also see David's sanctuary. I'm glad God's got a place that every one of us can run to. There's somewhere you can run to. And David said, hey, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go find Samuel. He's the man of God. He's the one that anointed me. He's the one that God's told something. And I'm going to get around him because he seems to be about the only place I can run and find some help at this time. So he runs to this place where Samuel is. And it's a place called Ramah. It's a city called Ramah. That's where Samuel has gone, and Samuel has set up a Bible college down in Ramah. In fact, that's what's going on. He's got, you remember later on, you see about Elijah and Elisha, and they have the schools of the prophets. This is probably where this started. It probably started here with Samuel building, and historians say that he built some buildings, and that word you see, Naioth, N-A-I-O-F-T-A-T-H, it is a word that means dwellings or buildings. In other words, this was a place that he had prepared to build this school and house these sons of the prophets. It was a place where Samuel knew that he was getting up on in age, and he knew that it seemed like there's nobody else that's going to stand for God. So he thought he'd get some young men, and he would teach them and be their mentor and be their helper and be their encourager, and then give them a place where they could fellowship, worship, and get together. And this was the place. This is where they got. So David knew this, and David ran down there to him. So David said, this will be my only place of sanctuary if I can go to where he is. And aren't you glad you see David's support? David gets there, and can you imagine? Now, here's David, as I say, he's scared, he's on the run, he's going, and he says, I know what I'll do, go down here to Samuel. He goes down to Samuel, and while he's there, he finds some support. You know what that is? That's a type of running to the house of God. I mean, that's a type of running down to the church. Aren't you glad? Hey, this world may turn on you. This world may hate you. Even family and even people you thought were friends, they may turn on you. But I'm glad you can go to God's house and you can find some friendship and fellowship there. Amen? It says, here they are. And Samuel and David, it said, Samuel received David, and David told him everything that Saul had done. And it said he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. And they went down to this place where all of these young preachers were, okay? Let's just kind of look at it in our terminology. Here's a bunch of young preachers. And you know what they're doing down there? They're singing. They're preaching. They're having meeting, and that's all they're doing. I mean, they're just involved in spiritual growth and spiritual exercise. And can you imagine any better place to run when you're scared, When you're frightened, when you're worried, isn't it good to come into this house sometimes when that world's beat on you, when that world has been atrocious and mean and horrible and ugly in your life, and you come into this place and you look up and you say, hey, there's nothing that's going to take away my joy. I can go in the house of God and I know that there's something here for me. Amen? Boy, I mean, I'm glad when I'm coming here. And sometimes we've been whooped out there, but you can come in here and you can say, victory in Jesus. Amen? My Savior forever. Well, I mean, that's what David needed. David needed somewhere to go, somewhere to latch on to something. He needed a friend. He needed a real friend. He needed some fellowship. He needed some worship. He needed something to happen in his life. And God said, hey, here's where you need to go. He went down there. But guess what? I mean, As everything does, the devil will find out where you're at, okay? So second of all, I want you to look at this. We see where, you know, a man on the run, that was David. Now let's look at some men that have a run-in with the Spirit. In verse number 19 it said, and it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is in Naoth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. I mean, Here's the deal. Here's some men on the run, and they're about to run into something I ain't never run into before. I like it when you get to run into some stuff you ain't run into before. Here they are, and you see that they are, first of all, men on a mission. I mean, they've been sent by King Saul, and their mission is this. He said he sent messengers to take David. I want you fellas to go down there to Naoth. I want y'all to find David. I want you to bind him up, tie him up, do whatever you got to do, and bring him back here to me. I'm going to take care of him once and for all. Yes, sir, we're on the way. These are men on a mission. Now, if you were a soldier and you had orders from headquarters, buddy, you better start doing what you're doing. So they do. They go on their way, and it said, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, verse number 20, and Samuel standing as appointed over them. Now, they're on their mission. They're coming to where they're supposed to be. And then all of a sudden, they see some ministers in the midst of where they are. I mean, they're on their way. They're going to go. We've got to go get David. We're going to go down here. We're going to grab him. We're going to tie him up. We're going to put him. When they get there, they went in. And they got in the middle of a church service. They walked in, and it said the prophets were prophesying. Now, I want you to understand what that word prophesy does. I mean, we normally think of it as people that are telling the future events. We normally, you know, when we think of a prophet, we think of somebody like Isaiah or Ezekiel or Jeremiah, some of those that tell things that God's going to. And that's all true. That's true. But sometimes in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, the word prophesy meant to just praise and worship God. And I think that's what these boys got on in the middle of. They walked into a service about like what we had here a little bit of yesterday, and they looked around like, what in the world is going on here? It says, look, that they came and saw the company of the prophets prophesying. They came into them, all of a sudden, they heard somebody singing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And they're like, hey, wait a minute. This is what's going on? What's happening here? Buddy, they begin to hear somebody say, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. Hey, they begin to hear somebody singing some old songs of Zion. They begin to hear them singing, hey, that amazing grace, how sweet the sound. They didn't know what they were walking into. They thought, we about to go into church, sir, but there's something going on here. It said they saw the company of the prophets prophesying. And Samuel's up there leading them. I don't know if he's leading the choir. I don't know if he's running the aisles in the preaching. I don't know what but he's up there in the midst of them. And these guys walk in into the midst of the ministers as they're ministering. It said, and the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul. And they also prophesied. They got in on it. They walked into church with a bad attitude, a mean look, and buddy, before it's over, the Spirit of God got on them. Hey, isn't that the way that it ought to be? Isn't that what you want to see? I mean, look, they got a message too, amen. They had a message to carry, but they got a message from God when they got there. And you know what? I think they liked it. Woo! They said, hallelujah. I mean, they said, boy, hey, isn't it amazing? You remember when a similar thing happened to Jesus? The Bible talks about how that the Pharisees had sent men to get Jesus. And they went down and they heard him preach. And they come back. And the Pharisee leader said, well, where is he? Why didn't you have him? Why didn't y'all bring him? They said, never man spake like this man spake. I mean, they said, we ain't never heard nothing like this. Hey, this is something different than what were you. I believe these old boys might have been to church, but buddy, they got in on some church they ain't never been to. They got in on that, and you know what? They liked it so good, they just joined in. They took off helmets. They laid down spears. Hey, they got out of armor, and they said, woo, let's go to meeting, y'all. Amen? Hey, I mean, that's what it looks like to me. And in verse number 21 said, it was told Saul, and he sent other messengers. Well, I'll get rid of that crowd. I'll get me another bunch. Come in here, you bunch of bullies. Y'all go down there and get him. Well, it said, and they prophesied likewise. And then Saul sent messengers off again the third time, and they prophesied. Every time they went, church broke out. I mean, they couldn't, hey, we're down here to do something for the king. And they said, come on in, the king's in here. Come on, and we'll worship the king. Amen? Woo! Hey, they might have had them some religion. But when they got down there to where David and Samuel and the rest of that crowd, they found out about a relationship. They found out about something real. They found out about something they didn't have back there at the religious. Oh, they might have had religious services. They might have had religious leaders. They might have had religious stuff. But they didn't have what that bunch had down there. Amen? Boy, aren't you glad? Hey, as I said, these men got a run-in. They thought they was going to have a run-in with David. They had a run-in with God head on. And the Lord, man, can you imagine that? Here they are, and they're just ready to go to have a meeting. And they, well, you know what that does? That makes the devil real good and mad. Amen? So it says, here it is. And then they sent messengers, verse 22. Then went he, this is Saul. He also went to Ramah. And he came to a great well that is in Sychar. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they're down at the church having church. Amen. That's where they were, down at Naoth in Ramah. So I want you to know now, thirdly, the main man finally has a run-in of like manner as those that he sent. I mean, hey, old Saul's about to have a run-in. I mean, he's like, if they can't straighten this, I'll go down here and I'll take care of this myself. You boys are gone down. Y'all ain't done nothing. Y'all just went to church. Well, y'all ought to be ashamed of you. I'll go take care of this myself. So here he goes. And he went hither to Naoth and Ramah. And the Spirit of God was upon him also. Boy, wouldn't y'all like to be in a church like that? I mean, wouldn't y'all like to be? Hey, everybody that went to church there, they got filled up, tanked up, Holy Ghost run over, buddy. I'm telling you, they got what they needed. Yeah, you better not go down there. Because if you do, revival will break out on you. Amen. I mean, look, God said, come on down here, Saul. And God showed him. He said, yeah, come on. You mad at them guys? You upset because what they did? He said, let me show you what I did to them and what I can do for you. Amen? Aren't you glad? As I said earlier, I believe if Saul had fallen on his knees right here and said, God, I'm wrong and my heart's messed up and I've got bad intentions and I've got bad thoughts about David and I want to kill, but I'm repenting, I'm getting fast. Hey, but he didn't do that. But God said, let me just show you what it could be. And it says, and he went thither. He said, well, okay, I'll straighten this out. And the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah. I think he got his at the city limits. Amen. He just stepped one foot inside and God said, I got you. Amen. I mean, God showed him. Not only did God show, God shines on him. Notice this. Here he is. He goes in. He starts prophesying. Verse 24, and he stripped off his clothes also. Now, I don't believe that he went completely down to his birthday suit, okay? I believe he took off all those kingly robes. I believe he took off that crown or whatever he had on his head. I believe he took off all of the ornamentation of that. And let me just say it like this. God didn't just shine on him. God stripped him down to where he needed to be. Aren't you glad God can do that to us sometimes? You can come in high and mighty, but God can strip you down to where you're just bare naked before Him. And that's exactly what happened to King Saul here. I mean, Saul goes down there, he's all puffed up, he's mad, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. And when he gets there, God shows up. Boy, aren't you glad? You ever been to a meeting where you just was like, well, I don't know what I'm going down here for, but I'll go anyway. God, you can bless me, just try it, let's see how it works. And you go in, and the Holy Ghost just kicks the honey bucket over, and you don't know what to do. Ain't that good? Amen. That's exactly what has happened here in the life of Saul. It said he stripped off his clothes. He said, I don't need this. He got rid of the king's robe. He got rid of the king's garments. He got rid of whatever all that was causing him to be like he was. And buddy, it said he prophesied before Samuel in like manner. He got out there with Samuel and he said, sing another verse of that. Amen. Woo! He said, I'm liking it. I mean, they got to praising. They got to worshiping. They got to getting in the Spirit with God. And boy, he didn't even know he did it. He did not even know he did it. It said that he prophesied for Samuel in like manner. Listen, and he lay down naked all that day and all that night. Well, I mean, he got so tore up in God that he didn't know day from night. He didn't know the undergarments from the outer garments. I mean, he just laid there in his pajamas all night long. Amen. And he just, woo, he said, hey, I've got the can't help it, y'all. Amen? The other day, Brother Ryan Goins had sent me a little message on Sunday morning. He said he I was going to preach. And he told me what he was going to preach on. And he said he's going to baptize some folks. And he said, I got up to preach. He said, I didn't preach what I told you I was going to preach. He said, because the next thing I know, I come to myself and I had run around that auditorium I don't know how long. He said, and I was there on the altar. We was on our faces and we was all praying. He said, I don't even know how we got there. He said, but we wound up there and God did. He said, now I got five to baptize. Amen. So, hey, let me just tell you, sometimes you don't know. You just don't know what God wants to do and what God can do. But the best thing you can do is just let Him do whatever He wants to do. And here's Saul. Like I say, sometimes we got it all figured out. Sometimes we're like him. We got all puffed up and we've got this and we got that and we're going to hold on to this and we're going to be grudged over that and, you know, behave this way. But aren't you glad, boy, when God shows up, God can take the starch out of every bit of that if we're not careful, and He will straighten us up rather than us going in to straighten up someone else or some situation or whatever it is we think. And God got him straight. And here it was. I mean, I don't think he understood where he was. I don't think he knew what he just got into the service in the Spirit of God, and he began to prophesy. And man, can you imagine? It said there he was, and he prophesied in like manner, and he lay down naked all that day and all that night. Why? And then, you know, others come along when they seen that, and they said, is Saul one of the prophets too? Amen. Now, I want you to understand it. Saul right here has an experience, but I don't think he had any real repentance in that experience. I think he had an opportunity. I think he had a chance. I think he had what God was wanting to do for him. But he got up and he went back and he still had that same spirit that he came down the road with. Man, isn't that amazing? I've seen people. I know one time we were out on Sand Mountain, and this old boy come into church and sat on the front row. Sat on the front row over on this side. Sat there, and I mean the music started. He got up, he shouted, he ran all the way, he hooped, and he hollered. I preached, he said, amen. I mean, it was just, you know. And after the service was over, I asked one of the deacons, I said, who in the world was that? And he said, well, you better take a good look at him. He said, you probably won't see him for about another 6 months or so. And I said, oh, okay. He said, yeah. He said, that's about the way it is. He said, he'll come here and he said, it must be enough to do him for a long time. He said, now, I ain't like it. I got to come back every service. He said, but it must tank him up pretty good. So, yeah, I mean, let me just tell you, friend, that's what we need. But, boy, we need to get it, get in it, let it soak in, let it get all over us. And, man, just do us some good. But here's Saul. And as I say, I think you can see this more than anything. He had an opportunity to get himself back into the right relationship, the proper place with him and God. And I'll just have to say, he blew it. Because you can go on and see further, and we will. We'll look at David's doings, and you'll see that Saul is still after him. Saul's still trying to go. Saul runs him off, and there'll be years of this in David's life. And somebody said, one of the theologians said, this is probably the time while David's on the run that he sat down and he penned down some of those psalms that we know him from. And there's some times in David's life when, you know, you can see he's, you know, while they're disquieted within me, oh my soul. Why are things going? You know, why is all this happening to me? In so many words, and David does wonder that, but he does know that God's still his refuge. He don't understand what's going on, and can I tell you, that's me and you a lot of times. We don't understand. I don't understand, God. Why is this happening? And God says, just, you know, it's not for us to question and wonder so much of the whys as it is trust him. Just trust me is what God said. You know what Samuel did? Samuel down there just trusting God. I mean, he knew Saul had messed up. He knew the kingdom was going another way. He knew all this stuff was going on. But old Samuel said, I'm going to go down here and we're going to worship and I'm going to try to help some young preachers get established because this country's going to need them for us. Aren't you glad? Hey, there's still a few folks around today that want to help in those ways. And God's still able to do it today. God's still able to do it today. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad God's still able to do some things. Even though sometimes we seem like a man on the run. We get in a place where we run and we don't know what we're going to do. But thank God, I'm glad he does have that power and that ability. And I like it when you can run into one of these places and all that other stuff. You just push it out of the way. Come into a place like this and just worship him. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of some song, if you will. Whatever you may have for us tonight, we'll sing a verse. And the Lord bless you if you need to come pray about something or you got something on your heart and on your soul, you just come on and we'll do that. But I'm so glad that God's still good to us.